So the last thing we're going to do in the sukkah, the last thing people do, the Ramah writes a very strange minhag, which I never understood, and I hopefully will have a little bit more clarity at the end of today. The Ramah writes that Yesh Nagu Kshe Yotzim and Asukah Yomrim Yiratzon Shenizaka Leishev B'Sukah Shaliv Yosin. Let it be the will of the Ribbono Shel in the next year, or that we should wind up sitting in the sukkah of the Leviathan. So this Leviathan got on my head, and I started to, what is the story with the Leviathan? Because if the goal of the entire sukkah is to sit in the sukkah of the Leviathan, then we have to understand what the Leviathan is in order to understand what the entire goal of sukkah is. So from the, you know, like everything else, if you learn from the end is the mission, and from the mission you can learn out what the objective is. So what is this deal with the Leviathan? So there are about 7 agadotas in the Gemara Baba Basra, which most of them are very obscure and strange. But if you put them together as a totality of something, then we could construct an objective of what the sukkah is about, and then hopefully have a better, clearer understanding of where we're headed, you know, over these days, and what you're going to say when you leave the sukkah. So the Gemara Baba Basra talks a little bit about the... And these agadotas were made famous by, if any of you ever read the book, The Juggler and the King, the Gra, which is based on the Gra's interpretation of the Agadata. So there's a number of different Gemaras here that discuss what is this Leviathan. It's based on the Psukim and Eov. The Psukim and Eov tell us that the Leviathan is either some crocodile or some fire-breathing dragon, which you would come up with like in Harry Potter. But there are a couple different Gemaras that we could learn about where we're going to go tonight. The first one is on Ayin Hei Amud Aleph, where the Gemara tells us, where do we get this expression from? Because the Gemara tells us that eventually there are a couple things that are going to happen with the Leviathan. That Amar Rabba, that eventually Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Asir HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'asav Su'udah L'tzadik and Mibsaro Shel Leviathan. Eventually we're going to have a great meal at the end of time, whatever that is, the Machlokas Rishonim, whether it's the time of Mashiach or it's at the time of Tchias HaMesim, that we're going to eat a meal, the Tzadikim we're going to eat from the flesh of the Leviathan. And he quotes a Pasuk, Yikarav Al-Chaverim Ve'in Kar El-Suda. Okay. Which is based again of Eov, which is referring to the Talmidei Chachamim. Then the Gemara continues and says another thing: Amar Abba Rabbi Yochanan, Asir Hakadosh Baruch Hu Lasos Sukkah L'Tzadikim Be'Rosh Leviathan. Eventually, that we're going to merit to make a sukkah out of the flesh of the, or the, I shouldn't say the flesh, out of the hide of the Leviathan. That's only for the people who win. For the people who don't win, they're going to get other things. They're going to be in the shadow that tzeltzel. Other people, they're going to get a necklace. And there's a fourth group that are going to get they're going to get something else. They're going to get a kmiya, an amulet. So this Leviathan seems to play a major role at the end of time, and it's something that we're going to do at the end of time with sukkah. But why is it so prevalent in this mitzvah? So, the Minchas Asher, Rav Asher Weiss, he has a nice mahalach, and I want to add in one piece to one of the agadotas. I think that fits in very, very beautifully, which he doesn't say, but it's not a chiddush, but I think it ties in nicely to Koheles, and it ties in nicely to the goal. So he says like this. He explains, what is the objective of the entire sukkah? It's, to me, it's, you know, if you ask me top 10 holidays, number one on the board, I'm a sukkah guy. First of all, Zman Simchat Seinu, but Pesach is a lot more, it's labor-intensive for the women, but sukkah is labor-intensive for the men in building the sukkah. But the idea is that you're all in. What do I mean by all in? There are 2 mitzvahs you can do with all your body. One of them being Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, we should all be zelchet to that. And the other one being that of sukkah, where we enter our entire bodies into the sukkah, and we try our best to fulfill this mitzvah with everything. But it's much deeper than that. It's not just who we are, but if you look around, that all of a sudden, the Gemara tells us you're supposed to bring in your beds, you're supposed to bring in your kelim na'im, your beautiful vessels, you're supposed to bring in, you know, you're supposed to bring in your entirety, not just of yourself, but all of your belongings, and you're supposed to sanctify that. It's not just that, you know, a piece of you is part of it, but rather all of you, and not just all of you, but somewhat all of your possessions all take on this notion of sitting in the sukkah. And he writes as follows. He says that this is part of what the Teshuvah Kein Teduru is. You bring into the sukkah the matzaos, the beautiful sheets. You bring in, you eat, in mitayel b'sukkah, you do everything, kelim, etc., etc. You bring all this in. So the idea of the sukkah, first of all, is taking all that which is usually mundane and sanctifying it. Taking that which is chol and mekadesh it. This little soda, I make a leishev basukkah. I would make a leishev basukkah on the book of Babka, Baruch Hashem. You make a leishev basukkah on this. In terms of bad rabbi jokes, what bracha do you make when you sit on gum? Leishev basukkah. Bazooka. I told you, bad rabbi jokes. So as long as I give you the warning, it's okay. Not to be confused with my other rabbi joke, which is, why do we eat in the sukkah on sukkahs? This is very true, I think. So you put your lulav and esrog on the dining room table. No? So where else? Did anybody else put the lulav and esrog anywhere else?
Yeah.
Also, like, you know, what do you... what does it say on the box of the esrog? What does it say on the box of the esrog? Yeah, what does it say on the box of the esrog? Shake well before using. Anyway, so this is the notion of the sukkah. Let's talk now about... Let's talk a little bit about the Levyasin as to what... How does the Levyasin come into this? The Levyasin appears in a number of places. We saw the Agaritas, that it plays some sort of a role when it comes to the Olam Emes, wherever that's going to be. It plays some sort of role in the sukkah. But where's the first appearance of the Levyasin? Way back in the beginning. Where's the Levyasin appear? According to the Chizkuni, when Adam and Chava sinned, so we know that at that moment, they recognized that they were naked. Right? So what did they do? They covered themselves with leaves, etc. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a beautiful thing for them, and he gave them Ksonas Or, Ayin Vav Resh. Okay? Ksonas Or. The Medrash there, quoted by the Chizkuni, whether it's Or, Ayin Vav Resh, which is hide, or Aleph Vav Resh, which is light, the Chizkuni teaches that what he gave them to dress themselves up with was the or, the leather, the hide of the Levyasin, of the Leviathan. Now, why at that particular juncture was it critical to give the or Shel Levyasin? So, if you ever read Nefesh HaChaim and Sfarim is like that, there was a, again, when Adam and Chava had that cataclysmic sin of eating from the Eitz Hadas, Tovera, it wasn't just all of a sudden that there was death in the world, it's that the very nature of man changed. The way Rabbi Friedman teaches up all the entire Nefesh HaChaim Chelek Aleph in one sentence is that prior to the first sin, the Eitz Hara was outside of man. Where was the Eitz Hara? Meaning, if you wanted to do something wrong, it would be coming to you as, you really want to do this, right? You really want to do this. Like, you know, a friend who wants you to get to something wrong. That was after the... That was prior to them eating from the Eitz Hadas. After the Eitz Hadas, there was an erbubya. There was a combination platter of the guf becoming more prevalent in the bodies of Adam and Chava. And it no longer was, you want to do that wrong, but rather, I want to do that. And the I became a lot more prominent in terms of the chomer, in terms of the physicality of the world, in terms of the guf. That's what changed after Adam and Chava ate. So what was necessary at that particular juncture? What was necessary for man to have at that particular moment was to have something that could fuse the nefesh and the guf, but not in a treif way, so to speak, but in a way where the guf could be elevated. Because before that, what you want to do was ignore the guf, because the guf was the you, and as long as you ignored the guf, which was the you, from the outside of you, then you were okay. What happened afterwards, the guf then became very prevalent. It became I want this, I want that babka. Spoken like somebody who, you know, when you'd want to diet, right? It's no longer the temptation from the outside, the nachash, but it's from in, I want the babka. So at that moment, in order to fuse the neshama and the guf, everything had to change. It had to be fused in a proper way, where the neshama and the guf could kind of coexist. And not that you could ignore the guf, but rather you could elevate the guf through the neshama and kind of tap into the neshama. So, make a leishet, please. So, this is the notion, this is the idea of the Levyasin. The Levyasin is this idea where the guf and the neshama, the guf and the neshama are coming together. I think it's the Rabbi Minchas Asher quotes, I think he quotes the Gra, back in Eov, which talks about the Levyasin, the word Levyasin. What's the shorish of the word Levyasin? So it comes to the word Levaya, which unfortunately sometimes has a negative connotation because we think of death. But levaya really means to escort or to create a companion for. And who are we creating a companion for? We're creating a companion for the guf that it kind of could tie into the neshama. So says the Minchas Asher, beautiful idea, where we want to join together the guf and the neshama. And this is the idea of what Sukkos is all about. What is the idea of Sukkos? The idea of Sukkos is not that we kind of, some people like to say, and sometimes I say this, is we run away from the physical, which is what Kohelet seemingly is about, HaKol Hevel, and we leave our permanent dwellings and we enter into a temper, we forget about all the Gashmias and we run away from it. But if you understand this Levyasin idea, I think it's a much more profound idea, which is not about taking the guf and running away from the guf, but rather it's an idea of elevating the guf. I want to share with you, I think, what is a raya to this. There's a couple, there's about, like I said, six gemaras here about the Levyasin, but there's one to me that really struck a chord. See if you see it the way I saw it. So, Kiyasi Rav Dimi. When Rav Dimi came, Rav Yochanan, Bishah Shel Levyasin Ra'av. When Levyasin is hungry, I'm in the middle of Harry Potter, so it's like I'm in the third chelik. Right now.
Why are you so late on Harry Potter?
Because like I know. My kids introduced it to me, and like I'm listening. I'm audio listening as I'm driving now. So like,
it's a good audio.
You drive.
Its voices are awesome.
Bucks.
What?
You drive free.
So we just took a trip to the Berkshires. So we took a trip to the Berkshires. So only Beta's mom. So over the summer I did the first two, and now I'm up to three. But this is not a Harry Potter, Zach. So Bishash Levyasin Ra'av, when Levyasin is hungry, Motzi Hevel Mipiv. This Hevel. So. It's, you could understand it as a dragon fire, you know, but or like this hot air comes out of its mouth. Umarsiach called Mimil Shebatula, and it heats up all of the deep rivers. Shene'emar, as it says in Pasuk, Yarsiach Kitzir Mitzula, it heats up like a pot in the depths. Now watch this. V'ilmole machnis rosh l'gan Eden, and if you don't put your head into Gan Eden, then nobody could withstand the breath of the Levyasin. Right? That's the simple understanding of this. Shenemar, he quotes a pasuk, Yom Yasim Kimerchaka. Okay, Yom, right, he quotes a pasuk over there. Okay, Vaiter. So that's the Agarata. But when I saw this, it struck me. There's one word here, I think that's the key to the whole sugya. Watch this. When the Levyasin's hungry. So we said, what's the concept of the Levyasin? The Levyasin is the concept of fusing the guf and the neshama, the chomer, the physical, to the spiritual, right? That's what the Levyasin is. So, b'shah shel Levyasin ra'av. So when people are not fusing the physical and the spiritual, what's the next word here? Hevel. How did I translate that up until now? The breath. But coming because I saw this Gemara today, how do you understand Hevel? What is really Hevel? Right, I hope if you paid attention for Kohelis. If you didn't pay attention, you missed it. But one day I'm going to just learn Kohelis. Like every year I always, you know, whenever we hear Kohelis, I'm like, I should learn Kohelis. Such a beautiful limud. And then, of course, the next day happens and you forget about it. But it's so beautiful. But the concept, what is Hevel? The concept of Hevel is running after physical things and recognizing that it's all futile. That's what Hevel is. That's the notion of Hevel. So now let's read this Gemara in a little bit different way. The Gemara says, Bishash Levyasin Rav, when the Levyasin's hungry, because you're not fusing the physical and the spiritual, and everything is just physical. Hevel, Yotzi Mipiv. The Hevel comes out of Levyasin. That's when all of a sudden the dragonfly, Megalishin. Hevel, Yotzi Mipiv. Umarsiach. And it heats up the whole world. It's no good for the whole world. Because then we're just running after physical. That's what the Hevel is. I think the Hevel unlocks the Agarata. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But this is the way I saw it today. Maybe because, again, it's all context of when you're learning something. The idea of the Levyasin, fusing the two together, then all of a sudden, then the Levyasin satiated. And if the Levyasin is satiated, the Levyasin is full, that means we're fusing the physical and the spiritual together. That means we're somehow sitting under the sukkah shel Levyasin. What's the Yehi Ratzon we say at the end of the sukkah? We say Yehi Ratzon, let it be the will that we actually sit in the sukkah of the Levyasin. What's the sukkah of the Levyasin? It's this idea of fusing the physical and the spiritual. That's the goal. That's the objective we say. Let it be the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we sit in the sukkah of the Levyasin. That's what we want to happen. We don't want it to happen that we're just sitting under the sukkah and, you know, forgetting and kind of forgetting the physical. You want to take this delicious babka and elevate it. You know, sometimes it elevates our waistlines. But you want it to be elevate who we are. Das is what the Lev Yosin is. And now let's go back to all of these Gemaras. These Gemaras are I think, remarkable. At the end of time, the Tzaddikim are going to be eating the Seudah Shel Lev Yosin. What does that mean, at the end of time, the Tzaddikim are going to be eating the Seudah Shel Lev Yosin? So you should just know, just this is not where I'm going today, but this is a huge machlokas as to whether or not we're going to eat in the Olam HaEmes. Okay, but that's a side point. The Rambam is not a fan of that. The Ravitz is a fan of that. So they try to deal with it in different ways. Some people say, really, it's not in Tchias HaMeisim, it's at this time of Yemos HaMashiach prior, but that's not where we're going. What does it mean we're going to eat? We're going to be, it doesn't mean, again, read the words carefully. I tricked you. I don't think I tricked you. I think that the Gemara tricks us. It says, Soed, we're going to be satisfied with the Oro Shel Lev Yosin. At the end of time, the people who, the Tzaddikim, are going to be satiated with the Oro Shel Lev Yosin, because they understand how to fuse this idea of the physical, the spiritual. That at the end of time, whatever's going to be there, they're not going to need the physical because they've already been satisfied. You know, the whole world they have made into this spiritual idea. Again, I never saw the movie Matrix, but the way kids explain it to me is that that behind the scenes of all the physical, there's like this code. You saw it? I don't know. And like, am I correct that there's like this little code working in the background, and it kind of like is the spiritual centerpiece or force of all the physical, which is the way the Derech Hashem learns. But if you're able to tap it into this world, the physical into the spiritual, so you've already seen the matrix. So when you get to the next world, you're already in that spiritual. That's why you're going to be soed from the seuda of the busser, the fleish, that of the Lev Yosin. Similarly, when it comes to the sukkah, this is the trickiest part. Remember we said there are four levels of the sukkah? What are the four levels of the sukkah? Level one is you're going to be in the sukkah of the Lev Yosin. Level two is there's going to be something called the tzilzel. What's the tzilzel? That's the shadow. But Rashi and the various Mefarshim explain that there's going to be no walls, there's just going to be a schach, meaning you've understood the lesson of the Lev Yosin on some level, but you haven't fully entered, so to speak, but there's still gaps. That's why there's a schach, but there's nothing on the side. The next level is the necklace. The necklace is you have the head in, but the body's out. Or the body's in and the head is out. But that continuum between the head and the body is not necessarily there. And the fourth level is you have a kamiya. Why is there a kamiya? An amulet? This could be because you're sick and that you're sick and you're toast and you need a refu. I don't know. That's up for interpretation. A couple of other gemaras that go beautifully with this is that Asid Gavriel lasos kiniga im Lev Yosin. Gavriel is going to have a war with the Lev Yosin. What does that mean? I'm not sure. But what does Gavriel do when he's stuck? He's got this war with Lev Yosin. So who does he call on to help him? He calls on to help him. Awkward. El Malei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ozro. Not as awkward as the time I was once in a shir with Adam Gadolbi. Not one time I was in a shir with an Adam Gadolbi Yisrael and the Simpsons phone went off. Like all of a sudden, like the guy didn't know who it was, but I was like, welcome to the Five Towns. It was a great Five Towns moment. Anyway. So it says, "Il Malei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ozro, Ein Yachalo." If HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't help him, then he couldn't. What does it mean? He needed HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go to war against the Lev Yosin. What's pshat? So the Gra, I brought today in the Masifta of Baba Basra, I should quote where I got it from. The Gra says a marvelous pshat. The Gra says that this Lev Yosin understands and recognizes the fusion of the where the body all of a sudden came into play, so to speak. Who's the one who did that for us? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who gave us that unbelievable Yetzer Hara, which kind of somehow shifts us a little bit off the Derech, or as my kids say, off the D. Right? That's the new lingo, off the D. Gavriel is the one who's the Gibor, who's Ezo Gibor, HaKovish Es Yitzro. Gavriel is the one who says you got to conquer the Yetzer Hara, but it's not so simple. So what's the taina people could have? The one claim we could have, listen, who's at fault, is it? Not fault. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who gave us the Lev Yosin. He gave us the Lev Yosin for our purpose, because if he didn't give us the Yetzer Hara, what wouldn't we have in this world? We wouldn't have something that's so critical, which is free choice. And if we wouldn't have free choice, then what's the point of living? Unless, you know, you're from the school of Ishbitz, which I'm still trying to figure out. But, like, you'll give me a shot later. Yeah. The idea is we need Bechira in this world, and the way we enter Bechira into this world is by bringing in the Yetzer Hara. So Gavriel says, Kodesh Baruch Hu, I need your help. You're the one who, I have to use you. You're the one who caught, it's like entrapment. You caused the trap. So now Gavriel is calling on a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But it shows again, it highlights this idea that the greatest gift that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us is the Yetzer Hara, but he's also gave us Leviathan to fight, and we're kind of fighting against Leviathan sometimes, which is this idea of not ignoring the Yetzer Hara, the physicality of the world, but fusing the two and utilizing the Yetzer Hara. It's like the Gemara in Sukkah. Gemara in Sukkah tells us that when you run into the Pug of Yetzer, what do? Mashchul the Beis HaMedrash. You bring it, you go to the Beis HaMedrash. So most people understood it like, oh, you're fighting the Yetzer, so run away from the Yetzer. I never understood it like that. I said, when you're fighting the Yetzer, you know what you do? You bring the Yetzer into the Beis HaMedrash. I got to tell you a story of me. I am a very lazy person. Incredibly lazy. Baruch Hashem. So I'll never forget my second year at Eretz Yisrael. All my friends were going out, not doing bad things. They were just going out to restaurants, whatever they were doing. But I was lazy. So what's closer, the Beis HaMedrash or the restaurant? So Mashkul, the Beis HaMedrash. I brought my laziness to the Beis HaMedrash. And I started learning there because who needed to go out? In other words, if you have a Yetzer Hara, don't ignore the Yetzer Hara. Fuse the Yetzer Hara with the... I think the Marsha says that. Mashkul, the Beis HaMedrash. Bring it to the Beis HaMedrash. One last agarata about Leviathan, which I think ties in very nicely. Gemara tells a crazy story. Again, whenever you learn these agaratas, I am in this camp of the Maral, which is, they're not literal. They're metaphoric, and they're important because they're there to teach us valuable lessons about life. So the Maral says an amazing thing. He says, Kol ma'ashu baro HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'olamo, zachar nevinakev. He always created everything in this world, male and female. What are the things that he created, male and female? Af Leviathan. The Chiddush, even the Leviathan, he created male and female. And then he goes on to say, but what'd he do? So he says, but if they were together, they would have destroyed the whole world. That wouldn't have been good. Okay? So Ma'asa, so what'd he do? He castrated the male, which is always a good idea. The Harigas and Akev, and he killed the female. Castrated the male and killed the female. So you can ask the obvious question. What do you got to kill them? Either kill them or castrate them. What do you got to do both for? Okay. Because...
why create it like that?
Why create it like that? That's also a good question. The Maral talks about that. Why create it like that? And why castrate? And why kill? Meaning simply castrate or kill. Right? If they're dead, there's nothing to talk about. They're gone. Okay. And the Gemara goes on and asks this question. Why did he kill the female? Why did he do it reverse? Many, many questions on this particular Gemara. Asks the opposite. Okay, many kashas. But I want to share with you one thought as to why he created the male and female, and why specifically are we talking about this fire-breathing dragon from Harry Potter, the Leviathan. If you want to read more about the Leviathan, read the end of Eov, which talks about it there. So the Maral here, Kedarka B'Kodesh, explains beautifully this whole notion of this male and female relationship of the Leviathan, and goes along similar stories of what the Minchas Asher was going. But he writes, what's the significance of creating the Leviathan of Kol Mashu Bar, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates, he creates male and female. And the fact is that they could have destroyed the world is very, very significant. Because the Leviathan has a superpower. What's the superpower of the Leviathan? To be able to fuse the physical and the spiritual. What's the point of this world? For us to try to take the physical and elevate it. If there's no Bechira in this world, I'm sorry, then there's no point in living, right? If there's no Bechira. So if there's male and female, and the Leviathan could be so powerful, that means it's too good, that means of course we're going to fuse it. So Kodesh Baruch Hu first had to rip apart the potential of the male and female, because that's too strong. But he writes, but he says, listen, but why do you create them originally, male and female? So he says, listen to this Maral, because he does it so beautiful. Amna Masha Amr Kol Masha Baruch Kodesh Baruch Hu Balamo Zech V'Nekeva Baro B'Or Zeh He says, everything in this world is not from the upper world, and therefore everything in this world has to be two. And he writes, because two is greater than one. Not that one plus one is two, one plus one is far greater than two. And then he writes, I won't do this inside, it's too long, but he writes, you got to see this inside, he writes, not because the wife is going to cook for you or have babies for you. This is Maral. Maral is like a very esoteric guy, and he's getting like hand. That's not the pshat. He says, because the nekeva is mashlim, the man. and the man is mashlamum. Each one comes together to complete each other. There's no such thing as each one being separate. Lo tovei adam levado. It's not good for man to be alone. More than that, it's you're not complete until two people are together, until these two individuals are together. So that's why they got to be connected, right? Because the point of this world is not that you should be a yud, which is elevated and be in the spiritual, and just be up there, which is the yud from ish, or from the hay from a woman, isha, which is the hay, but rather the two of them have to come together and mashlim each other. It's very bad when people want to divorce themselves from this world. The object of this world is to utilize everything in this world. This is the lesson of the sukkah, and to kind of come together. The paradigm for that is the Levyasin. Therefore, says the Maral, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could not create the Levyasin, male and female, together, because the point of all of the things in this world is to be male and female. So therefore, it says, Af Levyasin. It doesn't say the Levyasin, it says Af. What do you mean? Meaning the thing that you would think is the most thing from out of this world is the Levyasin. But even the Levyasin, which is somehow in this world, because it fuses the physical and the spiritual, this world, next world, Yetzirah, Yetzirah Tov, all those things. After Levyasin, it has to be also Zachar Nekeva, because nothing works unless it's Zachar Nekeva. The idea that one not just complements the other, where like one is a point guard and one is a center, it's much deeper and much more profound than that. Each person is incomplete until they find the other person. And this is the lesson of the Levyasin. The Levyasin is this lesson that the physical alone is incomplete. Again, I can't say this on the recording, but you understand what I'm saying. The physical is incomplete unless it is given some sanctification with the spiritual. That is what the sukkah is. Just stomp to fresh is a nice thing to do if you're hungry, but if you don't make a bracha, if you don't make it spiritual, it's irrelevant. Sukkah is the highlight of that. That's why the Levyasin is where everyone is going to be under the sukkah of the Levyasin eventually, because that's where the Levyasin is that which fuses the physical and the spiritual. That's why this is the paradigm, the last thing. Oh, even men and women, even the Levyasin was created male and female together. Now, it's fascinating what he writes. Again, this is off topic, but he gets at the end. He writes, but the woman is salted because that's what's going to be used for later. Hidafka, the man is left alone. Why is the man not killed? Because he quotes a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. What's the Gemara in Avodah Zarah? Strangest, maybe one of the strangest Gemaras in all of Shas. But, I mean, we've learned a lot of strange Gemaras. Kadosh Baruch Hu, they say, what does the Kadosh Baruch Hu do all day? So in each quadrant of the day, it tells us. So in the third quadrant, he is feeding everybody. Mikarni Re'emim, from the eggs. It starts off from the, I forget exactly it goes, but from the eggs of lice all the way to the Karnirim. He feeds everybody. And what does he do in the last quadrant of the day? HaKadosh Baruch Hu plays with the Levyasin. He plays, what does he do? He juggles. He what?
He's downtime.
So he plays with the Levyasin. What's Pshat? He's playing with the Levyasin. So A, that's why it's got to be a male, not a female. That's what the Gemara is. Right? That's because it's possible to play with the female. That's what the Gemara is. You know? That's it. But B, this idea of playing with the Levyasin is this idea of taking the physical, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands that he's playing with it, because the ultimate paradigm is when the physical and spiritual are fused. And that gives HaKadosh Baruch Hu the greatest nachas. The greatest nachas in the world is when things achieve completion. And what's completion? Male and female together. What's completion? The Levyasin. The Levyasin, which is taking the physical and making the spiritual. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when everything else is taken care of, but that's not enough just to take care of the physical needs of everything. But to fuse that physical and the spiritual together, that's the ultimate objective of Kodesh Baruch Hu. I just end with one last Gemara. The Gemara tells one last story, and then the Gemara tells one story that the Tanoim are on a trip. Again, Maisa Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yoshua, Shuboyin Besfina. They were traveling on a boat. Rabbi Elazar Yashin, Rabbi Elazar sleeping, Rabbi Yoshua Na'ar. Rabbi Yoshua is like stirring. Nizdadea Rabbi Yoshua. So Rabbi Yoshua shook up. And Venina or Blazer woke up. Amalei Maze Yoshua, and they man is that dead. Why'd you get all shaken up? Amalei me or Godol Ra'is to Biyam. I saw this large light, Aleph Vav Resh this time. Biyam, Amalei Shema Einav Shel Levyasin Ra'isa. Maybe you saw the eyes of the Levyasin. Again, the eye into the Aleph. What's Pshat? Same Pshat the whole time. What's the greatest light in this world? The greatest light in this world is when you see things for its ultimate purpose. when you see things, not just for the bapka that stuffs you, but what's the ultimate purpose of the thing is for the spiritual entity behind, like in the Matrix, to see the spirituality behind it. The levyasin, which is the levaya chayin, which brings the chayin, the beauty of everything out, because it's able to take the physical and to show it to the spiritual. So that's what you see from the eyes of the levyasin. Tomorrow we're going to say those magic words. We're going to say the words, which is that we're going to say, like the Ramah says, that Yiratzon Sheniska Leshe B'Sukkah Shel Levyasin, that we should merit to sit in the Sukkah of Levyasin. We should all merit to sit in the Sukkah of Levyasin, not just at the end of time, but our own Sukkahs should be the Sukkah of the Levyasin. Because if we are able to take all of the stuff inside the house and bring it into the Sukkah, then we should merit that all of these physical items shouldn't just be for the physical, but also should be for the spiritual as well. Shukrayach, everyone should have an amazing Sukkah.